everyone, and welcome to another episode of Selling Greenville, your favorite real estate podcast here in Greenville, South Carolina. I'm your host, as always, Stan McCune, realtor right here in Greenville. You can find all of my contact information in the show notes if you need to reach out to me for any of your real estate needs. Just a reminder, as always, please like, rate, review, subscribe, all of those things when you're on this episode on whatever app you're using so you don't miss future episodes. Please do that. That's all I ask of you guys. That use me as your realtor. If you are a realtor and you're not going to obviously use me as your realtor, consider joining my real estate team. I'd love to talk to you about that. I'd love to help you out with some one-on-one mentoring. So please let me know. I know that there's some realtors listening to this, and I'd be happy to chat with you guys. Today we are going to dig right into the what's now called monthly indicators that the Greater Greenville Association of Realtors puts out. Now, interestingly, as I'm recording this on July 15th, the CPI inflation report just came out. It was kind of in line with expectations on the higher side in some things, on the lower side in some things. Caused a slight bond sell-off, nothing too dramatic. It is, at the moment, it's not a positive for mortgage rates, but it won't be a huge negative. So for those of you that are interested in that kind of thing, let's see, Mortgage News Daily currently has the 30-year fixed rate mortgage on average at 6.85. So that'll probably tick up to 6.88 to 6.9 by the end of the day is what I would imagine. So let's dig right into these monthly indicators from GJR. New listings right at the top here. New listings up 9.5%. So we've been talking a lot about how the new listings data has been coming in really, really hot since January. January was down, but the rest of the year so far has been hot. June, another hot month, 9.5% increase year over year in new listings. Now, that wasn't as big of an increase as the last few months. And it was a big month-on-month decline from 2701 in May to 2397 in June. So what's interesting about that is that sometimes this new listings data can peak later in the year. We've seen this particularly in more recent years, that the peak has been, we had this weird crown formation in 2023, but in more recent years, oftentimes it's been later in the year that we've seen the highest new listings data. But May appears like it most likely will end up being the highest month of the year for new listings, and it's just going to keep coming down from here. And so when we talk about inventory a little bit later, just keep that in the back of your mind, because that's going to impact, obviously, inventory. Pending sales, this number is always low for the most recent month. Pending sales for the month of May, which should be accurate now after being revised. I told you guys May would come in low, not as low as it looked when we went over this last month, but May was revised up to 1,465 pending sales, which is a big decrease from May of last year, which was 1,577. So that is a 7.1% decrease in pending sales after we've had many, many months of positive prints on pending sales. May was the first in a very long time where it went negative. And I think June, after it gets revised, will also be negative. Maybe not quite as large of a difference as May was year on year. But I think that June is going to continue that trend. Now, June may end up being higher than May month on month. That's going to be interesting. It's going to be very, very close. But long story short, pending sales are starting to show some negative prints year on year. There is less activity year on year is what that is telling me, right? Less buyer activity. That being said, closed sales are still coming in hot, okay? We've been positive all year. We're continually positive. 7.6% increase year on year in closed sales for the month of June. It went up to 1689 from 1570. Now, pending sales dropping the way it is, you have to think that the closed sales will follow, right? So this might be, we might start to see some negative prints from here on out is kind of what I'm saying. I don't know, because some of these numbers have been a little wonky, right? The closed sales number has been higher than expected on multiple different levels, even though months of inventory has gone up. So we have to combine all of these different data points together. Basically, when you do all of that, when you factor them all in, basically the market is slowing down, but there's still all this pent-up demand. So you've got more supply still coming on the market than demand, but demand is still pent up, so it's still just kind of spilling out, you know, into some of these numbers. But it does seem like we're in for a slower summer just based on the pending sales data. So it'll be interesting to see. Because the one thing, and we've talked about this before, that could keep these closed sales up is if fewer homes that are under contract fall out from being under contract. And we have been seeing that more contracts are actually getting to closing than we've had the past few years. Days on market until sale went up a little bit, went to 43 year on year. That's a 4.9% increase. It is a month-on-month decrease, but that is seasonal. We typically see every year these summer months that the days on market bottom out. So the 4.9% increase from 41 to 43 days on market from June 24 to 25. I don't really think that's super noteworthy. Basically, the homes are taking about the same amount of time, slightly longer, but about the same amount of time to go under contract as they did a year ago, roughly 1.5 months. Median sales price. We hit the highest that we've ever hit in the greater Greenville area market, $330,000. And this is, right, the big takeaway from this is that people keep waiting for prices to fall. Well, now June 2025 was up 2.9% year on year over June 2024. So it went from 320,000 and change to 330,000. That 330 being the highest month that we have ever had for median sales price in the greater Greenville area. So that's huge, right? That's telling us that despite all of the softening, we have now seen since February had a 5% increase year on year. We've now seen March was 1.6%, April was 1.6%, May was 2.4%, June was 2.9%. We're seeing stronger appreciation numbers, and the median sales price is not exactly appreciation, but it's one of the closest ways that we can measure, you know, approximately what's happening. This doesn't mean that every single house in the greater Greenville area now has gained 2.9% in value year over year. That's not what this means, okay? What this does, this is just aggregate data. So we can loosely say that home values are 2.9%, or that prices, more accurately, right, than home values, prices are 2.9% higher than they were a year ago. That doesn't inherently mean that your home value has gone up that much. So hopefully that makes sense to you guys, but regardless, this is a big indicator of what's happening, and not a good indicator from the standpoint of housing affordability. If you're a seller in this market, you certainly don't want to see this number going down. But if you're a buyer, which a lot of people are, seeing this going up is not a positive. The average sales price did not hit a high, but it did increase ever so slightly, though. This is a pretty small increase for the average. Remember, we don't talk much about the average because it's skewed by homes on the really high end of things. So if we just have a bunch of multi-million dollar homes sell in 1 month, that's going to skew the average. It's not going to skew the median, at least not nearly as much. So I don't focus much on the average, but if you're interested, the average is $405,249, up slightly from the $402,424 print that we had in June of 24. Percent of list price received. This is the percentage found when dividing a property's sales price by its most recent list price, then taking the average for all properties sold in a given month, not accounting for seller concessions. Okay, so this doesn't factor in if the seller is paying closing costs or compensating a buyer agent or anything like that. It's not factoring any of that in. This is just the top line number, and it's the list price divided by the top line sold price. Okay, 98.5% is the number, which is a slight decrease from 98.7%. last June of 2024. So if you've got a house listed for $100,000, you can roughly expect as a seller to get 98,500, and then from that you would subtract out the potential concessions, realtor fees, closing costs that you're paying to assist the buyer, things of that nature. But 98.5%, that is just right there in line with historical norms. There is really nothing noteworthy about that. There's really nothing noteworthy about it being slightly declined from last year. It's really unhealthy when this gets into the 99s. We really don't like to see it in the 99s. If you're looking on YouTube, you can see that 2023 June was 99.1%. That wasn't good. You know, that was hurtful. Even before that, it was really high. There were times where during the pandemic where it was over 100%. That was insane. Really, the comfortable market, this number is really between 96 and 98. So it's even a little bit high, but it is in line with, relatively speaking, with historical norms. Housing Affordability Index. This is one way that we track housing affordability. This number bakes in the median income, mortgage rates, and the median sales price. So it bakes that all together, comes up with a number, and you want it to be 100 or higher. And that would indicate that the median family can afford the median priced home. And that number, unfortunately, is not at 100. It's at 92 currently. And that did drop 2 points from the 94 that it was in June of 2024. So the housing market, as it stands today, is less affordable than it was a year ago when you factor everything into the equation. Incomes, mortgage rates, etc. Home prices, etc. So housing affordability is going in the wrong direction. We've talked a lot about this. Housing affordability is going to continue to go in the wrong direction. The only way for this number to go right now above 100 again, we would have to see mortgage rates really come down a lot. We'd probably need to see them come down into the low sixes. They're in the high sixes right now. Maybe even lower than that. But it would have to come down substantially. And you can see that actually in the data. So September of 2024, in September of 2024, mortgage rates went down to 6.11% per Mortgage News Daily at one point. And so guess what happened? Our housing affordability index went all the way up to 104 for the month of September 2024 due to mortgage rates coming down into the low sixes. So even though home prices are going up, incomes are going up, but not tremendously fast. Just kind of generally speaking, the labor market isn't that strong. All of these are resulting in this number that was randomly high in September. Now it's come all the way down to 92 in June. Inventory of homes for sale. This number is always high for the most recent month, but the long story short is that inventory is continuing to go up. So last month got revised to 5,444. That is a 30% year-on-year increase in inventory. That's a big jump. Now June, I'm not sure what it's going to be revised down as, but it's going to be another substantial jump, I think. I think it's going to be revised down into probably the high 5,000s. And June of 2024 was 4,354. So we're going to have another month of roughly 30% increase in inventory. And if anything happened that caused demand shock, right? Let's say that suddenly mortgage rates started to go way up, or let's say that suddenly we were hit with a big recession. A lot of sellers would have a lot of problems, right? Right now, there's pretty stable demand. Again, there's pent-up demand, and that could be released too, right? If mortgage rates came down. And came down in the absence of a recession, we could see a huge spilling out of activity. And some believe that we'll even see that even if we do go into a recession, that causes mortgage rates to go down. That maybe a recession doesn't even matter. It's just rates. And I tend to think that there's probably some truth to that. But a lot of homes on the market. The most that we've had on the market now, I'm not gonna look at this line, but we're probably close to 6,000. We've not been at or above 6,000 homes on the market since 2011. Like, that is, we're approaching 2011 numbers. We were still in the housing recession back then. So that tells me a lot of homes on the market right now. And so you've got options if you're a buyer. Now, you might not be happy about the options. They're all too expensive. But you do have more options than historically that you would have. Now, that being said, the month's supply of inventory is still relatively low. May got revised down to 3.9. June will also get revised down probably in the low fours after it's all said and done. That's still an increase. We've not been in the fours for quite some time. And I've been telling you guys, if we started to get to the mid to high fours, that would really start to feel like a buyer's market at that point. And I want to elaborate on that just real quick. The reason why I don't think that the old metric that you should look for 6 months of inventory before a market flips from a seller's market to a buyer's market, why we need to be looking more at the 4.5 to 5 month range, is because of all of the new home sales, right? So there has been disproportionately more new home sales than existing home sales, really in the entire country, for the past 2 to 3 years. And that's because the builders are offering all these interest rate, mortgage rate buy downs, all sorts of incentives to convince people to buy their homes. And so the end result is that even though this month supply number appears low, it's low because a lot of homes that are being bought right now are new construction homes, while a lot of homes that are just sitting are the existing homes. And so the sellers that are just like me and you, right? Average Jimmy's and Joe's that are just selling a home, they're not selling a new home. They are selling an existing home. And so because of that, we need to account for the fact that existing homes are taking a lot longer to sell than normal. I've ran some data for this before the show. I need to do some more digging into it to kind of see, how accurate it is. But basically, I came up with that new homes, which typically take much longer to sell than existing homes, weren't taking a whole lot longer to sell than existing homes. And so basically, if you're a home seller, you're competing with new construction in a way that you never have before. And so it's going to start, if inventory gets up to the point where we're at, truly at 4.5. I know it says 4.6 for June, but that's going to get revised way down, probably to 4.1, 4.2 maybe. But if we start to get to 4.5 to 5, I'm telling you guys right now, it is going to feel like a very recessive market. Okay, it's going to feel like a buyer's market is my prediction. So we'll see if that happens. I'm not going to say that would be a good or a bad thing, right? Because that's talking out of both sides of my mouth. It'd be good for buyers. It would be bad for sellers. That's just reality. But affordability has to fix itself some way. That's one of the ways it can do it. It's not the best way, right? Because it leaves a bunch of sellers out in the cold, and usually foreclosures follow and things like that. So we hope that doesn't happen. But you never know. I'll be here the whole time, so you will be finding out in real time what's happening. So thank you guys. Don't miss future episodes when I tell you guys what's happening. So subscribe, like, review, rate the show to get out to as many people as possible. Need a realtor? My contact information is in the show notes. We will talk again next time.